And it's time once again for your comments. Many of you responded to our series on soldiers who return from Iraq and try to get on with their lives. Those troops include Steve Kraft, who enlisted after 9/11 and described his struggle to find and keep a job, as well as deal with a boss who wasn't impressed with his military service.
I walk into her office, and the first thing she says, "So, I heard you were in Iraq. I don't want to hear about it. I'm a pacifist." How am I supposed to respect what she tells me to do when she had made it perfectly, abundantly clear that she didn't respect me and what I did?
That brought this comment from Daniel Turner. He's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve who lives in Kansas City, Missouri. "I stand in awe of the ability of our young lieutenants, sergeants, and enlisted soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan who meet heavy responsibilities placed on them. Employers should jump at the opportunity to hire veterans who've had such experience."
We also heard the stories of two women soldiers who left their children behind, including Sergeant Marisa Gonzalez, whose younger daughter was just 3 years old when she left.
"I remember speaking to her once on the phone and her saying, 'Whatever I did, I'm sorry. Just come home.' And I told her, 'Sweetheart, there was nothing that you did wrong. I had to be here.' And she said, 'Maybe I can talk to your boss and he can just bring you back.' And I said, 'No, I can't.'"
Elizabeth Kenny of Norwalk, Connecticut, is a mother of two young children, and she says the story hit her hard. "Thanks to them for having the courage to tell their story." She writes, "Soldiers will never have that time they missed with their children again."
We have a correction this morning. On Monday, we said that Fisk University in Nashville anticipated shutting down next month due to financial problems. We were wrong. Fisk has no plans to close its doors.
On Monday, we spoke briefly about the life and death of the prize-winning writer, Norman Mailer. The essay prompted this note from April Hurley of Maryland. She asks, "Who wrote your tiny dismissive snippet on Mr. Mailer for this morning's Morning Edition?"
Renee, I wrote that.
Steve, that's one of several letters saying you were disrespectful to Norman Mailer. He did win 2 Pulitzer Prizes. This one's from Claire Gavin of Stonington, Connecticut. "Geez, guys, have you been taking snark lessons?" And Tara Friedman wrote to say, "To call his career outrageous is outrageous." So, Steve, were you trying to be outrageous?
No, I called his life outrageous because it was. And I suspect that it was also exactly the outsized life that Norman Mailer wanted to live. This is a couple days after his death. We'd already done the big formal obituary, so I said a few things that have stayed in my head ever since I started reading Norman Mailer, which I think is the best tribute as a reader that I could give to a writer. And that included his first novel and a story about an occasion where Mailer mistakenly thought that he was about to be eaten by a lion, which is a funny story that he wrote himself, a joke that he told on himself in a book called The Fight, and I think he also told the truth about himself.
You can share your writings with Morning Edition at npr.org. Click Contact Us. And Steve, we can't leave this subject without one more observation from the writings of Norman Mailer on the news media. He once wrote, "Reporters consume everything, tidbits, rubber tires, shells, roach powder, and a little of the wealth, and so end up depicting a reality that's ever so slightly skewed. As a result," Mailer wrote, "Americans become ever so slightly insane."